السلام عليكم تفضل. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. اللهم إنا نسألك حبك وحب من يحبك وحب عمل يقربنا إلى حبك يا أرحم الراحمين. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us love for His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. We ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us the love of those actions that will gain His love. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to give us His love over all other loves. We want love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The entire life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was teaching us. And he said, أَنَا لَكُمْ كَالْوَالِدُ أُعَلِّمُكُمْ. He said to the ummah that I am to you like a father, I teach you. And so he taught us everything about how to live, how to interact with one another, how to treat our family, our parents, our wives, our husbands, our children. He taught us from the most, what would seem like trivial things to the most important things about the akhirah. And here we are in the last year of the life of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he's taught us everything, but the only thing that remains is the hajj. He's taught us prayer, he's taught us zakat, he's taught us all of these aspects of everything, how we would worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But he wasn't able to teach us hajj because the hajj was still, prior to this year, the hajj was filled with all types of, there were idols there, there were practices that they were doing that were unethical. And so he sent Abu Bakr the year before that, Abu Bakr, go and do hajj this year and clean it up because I'm gonna come next year. And so the previous year, Abu Bakr did hajj and he made sure that Mecca was clean. There was no more of the customs and the rituals that were happening before. And so in the month of Dhul-Qa'dah, which is the month right before Dhul-Hijjah, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he announced that I'm going for hajj this year. And when the sahaba, when the companions heard that he was going for hajj, it was joy. Everyone was elated that we'll be able to accompany him for hajj. It was what everyone wanted. And we have to understand what the significance is, because Abraham, thousands of years prior to this, Abraham had built this Kaaba and he built it with his son. And when he built the Kaaba, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to him, أَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ. He said to him, announce to people to perform hajj to this Kaaba. And he said, Ya Allah, there's no one around me. He was literally by himself in a desert. There was no one there. And he said, Ya Allah, كَيْفَ بَلْ How will my voice reach them? How will my voice بَلَّغَهُمْ? How will it reach them? And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he said to him, Abraham, he said, نَادِي, just call. فَعَلَيْنَا الْبَلَغْ. It's our job to make sure that the message gets to everyone. And here we are, 1,000 years after Abraham, when the final prophet of Allah, Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, And all of Arabia has accepted Islam. They believe in the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, it's time to go and fulfill the prophecy, the promise that Abraham was given. The lesson in that is, put in the work. You might not always see the results in your life. You might not see the results of your work in this life, but that doesn't mean you stop putting in the work. Abraham made that call. And when is the answer coming? It's coming when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, after 23 years of da'wah, after 23 years of struggle, after 23 years, he says it's time to go for hajj. So he announces that I'm going for hajj, whoever wants to come, come. And everyone from around everywhere, Muslims from Africa, Muslims from Yemen, Muslims from Najd, Muslims from West and East Arabia, all coming. That we're gonna go with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they all come to Medina. As many as they can, they come to Medina so that we can go with him. Jabir radiallahu ta'ala an, he has one of the most extensive hadith on the hajj of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Jabir radiallahu an, he says, I was there. I was there at Dhul Hulayfa. Dhul Hulayfa is right outside of Medina. If you go from Mecca to Medina to Mecca now, the train goes straight through Dhul Hulayfa. And that's where you start your umrah or your hajj from. And so Jabir says, I was standing there. And he says, as far as my eyes could see, madda basari, as far as my eyes could see, I could see people walking, I could see people riding. He said, I looked left as far as I could see. He said, I looked right as far as I could see. I looked in front. I looked behind. All I saw was an ocean of people. And I want you to think about the words where Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Abraham, وَأَذِّنْ فِي النَّاسِ بِالْحَجِّ يَأْتُوكَ رِجَالًا وَعَلَىٰ كُلِّ ضَامِنٍ يَأْتُوكَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ يَأْتِينَ مِنْ كُلِّ فَجٍّ عَمِيقٍ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said to Abraham, just call. What you'll see is people coming from every direction, from every nook and cranny. People will be coming from this earth to do hajj, to celebrate the oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he tells Aisha that, you know, I need to get ready. He gets his ihram. He puts on the two white clothes of ihram, meaning he looks like everyone else. No distinction between this chosen man of Allah's creation and everyone else. And Aisha, she says that I put the itr on his ihram. Because before you start the ihram, you could put fragrance on. And so she says, I put it on, and then he put on his ihram. And then he went to Dhul Hulayfa, and he began to do the talbiyah. And this talbiyah is so special. This talbiyah is labbaik Allahumma labbaik. I'm here, O Allah, I'm here. And if you haven't gone, my question is, when will you answer the call of Abraham? If you haven't called, when the Sahaba heard he was going, al-fawri, right away, we got to go. We got to answer the call of Abraham. We have to celebrate this. And so he begins this talbiyah that is so powerful when you hear millions of Muslims all saying it at one time. Labbaik Allahumma labbaik. We're here, O Allah, we're here. Labbaik la sharika laka labbaik. We're here, O Allah, you have no partners. Innal hamda wa ni'mata laka wal mulk. I remember one year, I got to stay on topic because we got a lot to cover. I remember one year, it's like 7 years ago. I was watching something and I saw like this clip from, it was like a something on Hajj. One of those like, you know, like BBC be trying to do those specials on Hajj, you know what I mean? You know what I mean, right? So it was like one of those specials and I heard the talbiyah. And when I heard it, it hit me. I was like, Ya Rab. Just in my heart, I said, Ya Rab, I want to be back. I got to hear that again. 2 weeks later, somebody hit me up like, yo, you're going for Hajj, bro. I was like, Allahu Akbar, gotta go. So special. So Jabir says, I look every direction. Just thousands, 120,000. And this is the world before billions of people. This is the world before the population now, 120,000 Muslims from every direction. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying labbaik. He's doing the talbiyah and everyone's doing it. We get to Dhul Hulayfa. Dhul Hulayfa is right outside of Medina. And the Prophet stopped there so that everybody could come and join him, as many people as possible. And so while he's waiting there, life happens, right? You can't plan stuff. Abu Bakr as-Siddiq, his wife, Asma bint Unais, she was pregnant. And right before we leave, she gives birth. Gives birth. You can't plan stuff from Allah. So what do you think she's going to do? Go back to Medina? Mm-mm. She said, they had Muhammad. This was his first child after Islam. So what did he name him? Muhammad. He named him Muhammad. She says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm still going for Hajj. They're leaving today. She had the baby today. She had the baby today. She says, Ya Rasulullah, I'm still going. He said, don't worry, come, no problem. Take care of yourself, let's go. Come along, be with us, no big deal. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the companions, they travel and they make their way down to right outside of Haram. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stops outside of the Haram, lets everyone collect and get with him. And it's the fourth of Dhul Hijjah, meaning Hajj, the day of Arafah is the ninth. And so we're only like 4 days. It took us about 10 days to get there because we left on the 25th of Dhul Qa'dah. So we get there on the 4th of Dhul Hijjah, and the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, with all of the companions wearing his white ihram, 120,000 companions all gathered. Some of these companions have never seen him before. This is their first time seeing him sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They've heard about him. They've heard the lessons. They heard the hadith. They've heard the stories. but they've never seen him. And here he is. He walks into the haram. And he walks through what's today Bab al-Salam. Still today, Bab al-Salam. And the moment he walks in, he looks towards the Kaaba. Because this prophecy is being fulfilled now. And he says, Allahumma anta salam. Oh Allah, you are peace. Wa minka salam. Peace comes from you. You won't have peace in your life until you connect with Allah. Fahayyatna rabbana bisalam. Oh Allah, bestow upon us peace. And then he looks at the Kaaba and he says, Allahumma, increase this house in honor. Increase this house tashrifan. Wa ta'zeeman wa takreeman. Increase this. Make it more, ya Allah. And look at us today. Billions and billions of Muslims. Umrah, Hajj, Umrah, Hajj. I don't care how many skyscrapers they build around it, they can't take away from the beauty of that Kaaba that Abraham built. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he goes in and he goes to start the tawaf. Means to go around the Kaaba. And so the first thing he goes is he touches the black stone. The corner, this black stone that he placed years ago when there was beef in Mecca. When they came to him when he wasn't a prophet yet and they needed help. That same black stone, now he's kissing it. And as he's kissing it, he's weeping. He comes towards, he kisses the black stone and he's weeping. Yabaki tawilan. He's crying because God's promise is true. I asked Sheikh Abdul Nasser earlier today. I was like, yo, what's Hajj al Wida mean to you? He was like, the promise of God is true. He said, the promise of God is true. So the Prophet ﷺ is here at the Black Stone, performing this last pillar of this deen. And he's weeping, crying his eyes out. And then he looks to his left. And guess who's next to him? Umar. And guess what Umar's doing? Weeping. This strong Umar, weeping, crying. And the Prophet looks at him and he says, Ya Umar, ha huna. This is the place to cry, Ya Umar. We don't cry for dunya. We don't cry because we lost a job. We didn't get married till we wanted to. We don't cry. We cry because we see Allah in our life. So he says, this is where you cry. But look how he's enabling him to let his heart out. He's not like, yo, suck it up, man. We supposed to be rough right now. Yo, what you doing? You supposed to be Umar. Nah. He said, ha huna. He's like, yes, this is the spot. Let it out. Cry. Cry for everything that Allah has given us and everything that Allah has blessed us with. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he finished his tawaf and he went over to Maqam Ibrahim. It was closer to the Kaaba back in the day. Maqam Ibrahim is where Abraham stood literally to build the Kaaba. So he stands next to this spot where Abraham had stood and he recites the verse. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُسَلَّى. Where Allah commands him to pray right here where Abraham had stood. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, when they got there, a lot of us think like the Arabs, they didn't have to change their culture when Islam came. Like it was just normal for them, everything that happened. And that's not the case. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam broke so many cultural norms that were normal amongst the Arabs, but he said, no, this isn't the way of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So many things. Some of the smallest aspects of how he ate. He used to sit down and sit more of a, like he was eating in a rush. My wife, whenever I'm eating, she's like, yo, you ain't in prison, bro. She's like, bro, your food ain't going nowhere. Like, yo, it's old habits. I don't know what to do. So the Prophet, when he would eat, he didn't eat the way they used to eat. They used to sit back and just, you know, the Prophet said, I'm a servant. I eat the way a servant eats. I eat the way a servant eats. But they saw this as ajib. So when they came for Umrah, real quick lesson, they never had a custom of doing Umrah with Hajj. For them, in their mentality, you couldn't do Umrah before Hajj. You could only do Hajj. So the Prophet ﷺ, he arrives and he says, everyone make this a Umrah and come out of Ihram. Because we have 4 more days till Hajj starts. He says, everyone come out of Umrah, come out of your Umrah. And everyone's like, Ya Rasulullah, we don't do that. Right? And they kind of like hold back. And the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, انطلق حتى دخل على عائشة. He goes into Aisha, وهو غضبان. He's upset, he's flustered, what's going on? And she says, what's wrong? He says, I asked them to break their umrah, come out of umrah, but no one's listening. She calms him down and he comes back out. And he says, Ya ibadallah, ana atqakum lillah. I fear Allah the most of y'all. Wa ana asdaqukum, I'm the truest. Wa abarukum, I'm the most righteous. Break the umrah, break the umrah, come out of umrah. This is what Allah wants from us. At that moment, everyone looked up. Everyone said, Sami'na wa ata'na. They all began to come out of their umrah. But I wanted us to understand that the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the Arabs, he was changing their culture. They weren't used to everything. One of the Sahaba, they asked, Ya Rasulullah, is that this for this year or for every year? Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, no, this is for every year, every year. Now we have 4 more days till Hajj starts. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he doesn't stay in Mecca. There's 120,000 people that want to be close to him. So what does he do? He stays right at the outskirts of Mecca. You know what's amazing? See, if you got money and you go for Umrah or Hajj, you stay in those big towers, right? Those joints, you be looking down at the Kaaba, Instagram, and you know what I mean? You know what I mean? But the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he stayed out in Aziziyah, Habibi. Y'all don't even know what Aziziyah is. When you can't really like roll and you don't got the money, you don't stay right next to it. You stay over underneath the tunnel on the other side. What's amazing is the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, those who are further away are closer to where he was. They're closer to where he was, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Ajib. Ajib. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he stays for 4 days and now it's time to go to Mina. Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we go to Mina because it's like getting you ready. It's like wudu before prayer. You go to Mina, there's millions of people in tents and they're all in different places according to their nationality. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam on the 8th of Dhul-Hijjah, he says, everyone, let's go. They put their ihrams back on. He still had his ihram on. He couldn't take his off. And the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he leads everyone to Mina. Hatta idha zalat ash-shams. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam stays in Mina for 5 prayers. And now it's the morning of Arafah. The morning of Arafah. Arafah is all of Hajj. That's all it is. Hajj is Arafah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gets on his camel Qaswa. This has been his camel since day one, y'all. She's so close to the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He's never parted with her. He gets on Qaswa. And now it's time to go towards Arafah. We get to Arafah. The Prophet stops in a tent. He relaxes for a minute. Then he gets back on the camel and he comes a little closer in. And at that time, the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he gave this first khutbah. You have to understand, this is less than a year before he's going to leave. And he, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, already knows that he's going to leave. He already told Mu'adh that next year you come, you might not see me, you might just see my grave. So he already knows what's coming. He's aware of what's happening. This is it. So he gathers everyone. It's the day of Arafah. This is the day of Hajj. And he gathers everyone and he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, isma'u qawli. He says, listen to me and listen closely. Fa inni la adri. He says, I don't know. La'alli la alqaakum ba'da ami hadha. I don't know if I'm going to meet y'all next year. Fi mawqifi hadha, in this place. I don't know if I'm going to be here. And then he wants to summarize. It's like he wants to wrap everything up. Did you get everything you're supposed to get from me? He says, Ya ayyuhan nas, O people, your blood and your wealth are sacred. Meaning don't kill, don't hurt people. And watch people's wealth. The same way this day is sacred, this month is sacred. He says, وَإِنَّكُمْ you shall surely meet your Lord, and he will ask you about your actions. وَقَدْ بَلَّغْتُ I told you, I gave you the message. He says, whoever has something in trust, make sure you give that thing that you were entrusted back. And he says, all the riba is done today. See, they had tribal war from Jahiliyyah, and they also had money issues from Jahiliyyah. So the Prophet says all blood issues are over today. It's over. No more killing for this tribe, for that tribe, this tribe. No, it's done. And all the riba that people are owed is done today. No more. Take back your capital, but no riba from today. And then he said, I'll start with my family. The riba of Abbas is dropped off. No one owes him any riba. He wants to end everything from before. And then he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, Shaytan has given up hope that you're going to worship him. But he has hope that you'll obey him in small things. Be careful of Shaytan. The small, oh, that's a small thing. He says, that's where Shaytan is going to get you. And then he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, your women have a right over you. And sisters, your husbands have a right over you. Give every single person their right. And then he says to the men, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ فِي النِّسَاءِ. He says, fear God, be conscious of God regarding all the women in your life. Your mother, your sister, your wife. Fear God regarding them. وَاسْتَوْسُوا بِهِنَّ خَيْرًا. He says to the ummah, I'm leaving, listen to me. Treat them good. Treat them good. He says to the husbands, you have your wives with you because of the amanatillah, the trust of God over you. By the trust of God. He says, fa'aqilu, grab on to what I'm saying. فَإِنِّي قَدْ بَلَّغْتُ. I have left you two things. He's wrapping it up for us. He says, I've left you two things. If you hold on to these two things, you'll never go astray. I left you the kitab of Allah, the book of Allah. Read the book of Allah. Connect to the Quran. Recite it. Reflect on it. Understand it. وَسُنَّةَ نَبِيِّكُمْ. And I left you my way. You got to understand, this moment is so hard because they can't imagine life without him. They've walked in his light for so long, they're afraid that the moment he's gone, darkness is going to come. And so now that guide is, they're fearful. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, isma'u qawli, listen to what I'm saying. Wa'qiluhu, but hold on to it. Every Muslim is the brother of another Muslim. Muslims are all brothers. Don't take anything from anyone except if their heart is pleased with it. And this is the craziest part. He looks at everyone. And imagine he's looking at you in this moment. And he says, Allahumma, hal balagtu? He says, did I give y'all the message? Did I do my job? 23 years ago, Allah told me, qum fa'andhir. He gave me a responsibility. So now he's looking at everyone and he's worried about, did he do his job? But what I'm asking myself is, am I representing what he taught properly? He says, hal balagtu. They look at him. What would you say to the prophet who went through Ta'if for you? What would you say to the prophet that spent nights standing for you? What would you say if he said, did I give you the message? You'd be like, yeah, of course you... Your bro, you did everything. So they said, Allahum, he said, they said, Naam ya Rasulullah. Yes, you did. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he takes his finger, and I want you to picture him. He's wearing his white ihram. There's hundreds of thousands of Muslims in front of him. He asks them the question, and then they say, yes. He takes his finger, this finger there, and he points up and he looks up and he says, Allahumma, O Allah, ishhad, be a witness to what they just said. Allah, three times, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad, Allahumma ashhad. Oh Allah, be a witness, they said, I did it. Oh Allah, be a witness, I did my job. Oh Allah, be a witness, I did my job with them. This was our Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he continued to say to them, Inni faratukum ala al-hawd. He said, I'm going ahead, y'all. I'm going ahead, and I'll be at the Hawd al-Kawthar waiting for you. I'll be there waiting for you. Do you know, right after the Sirat, after the Day of Judgment, there's a bridge over the hellfire. And after that bridge, there's this pool of water. And the hadith says that the Prophet, peace and blessings, he'll be at this pool. And then for every believer, he'll reach and he'll scoop water and he'll hand it to you yourself. You yourself, You, Abdullah, you, Haytham, you, Ayman, you, Fatima. He'll hand it to you yourself. So the Prophet said, Ana fartukum ala al-hawd. I'm going ahead of y'all. He's indicating, I gotta go. But I'm gonna be ahead waiting for you. وَأُكَاثِرُ بِكُمَ الْأُمَمُ. He says, and I'll be proud if we have a big ummah too, y'all. You know what I mean? Nah, y'all don't get it. We got youngins in the room. He said, "Ana mukathiru bikum ummah." I want you to be plentiful. I want a big ummah on the day of judgment. Make me proud. Y'all slacking. And then he says, "Subhanallah." He says, "Wala tusawwidu wajhi." Don't make me sad. Don't bring gloom and sadness to me by your actions. I'll see your actions. And here I am wondering, did I do my job? And I'm wondering if he's seeing my actions, what is he thinking? Ala inni mustanqidun unas. And he said, I'm gonna be pulling and trying to grab y'all and bring you to the hold. Because the Prophet said to him, he said, when we see him at the hold, at this pool, there will be people trying to run and get the water. And then the angels will grab him. And then the Prophet will see him and he'll say, Ummati, Ummati. No, no, no. That's Abdullah. That's my Ummah. He's from me. That's my guy. And the angels will look at the Prophet and say, you don't know what he did after you left. You don't know what he did. And the Prophet will then say, take him. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, some of y'all will slip away from me. And I will say, Ashabi, Ashabi. That's my guy. That's my guy right there. فَيَقُولُ. And the angels will say, إِنَّكَ لَا تَدْرِي مَا أَحْدَثُ بَعْدَكَ. You don't know what they did after. The Prophet ﷺ gave this khutbah at Arafah. In that heavy moment, he asked them, did I do my job? And they all said yes. The Prophet then took his camel Qaswa, he got back on her, and then he went closer to Jabal al-Rahma, that iconic picture we all see at people at Arafah. The Prophet ﷺ, he goes close. First, the Prophet actually prays Dhuhr and Asr together. As soon as Dhuhr time comes, he prays Dhuhr and Asr. And then from the time he prays until Maghrib, the Prophet stands at Jabal al-Rahma with his hands out like this, making dua for the Ummah. Brothers and sisters, that's about 7 hours of dua. That's about 7 hours of dua. The Prophet said, if we get tired of 20 minutes of dua, 20, y'all like 20. The Prophet stood there on the Mount of Arafah, and for 7 hours, the Sahaba say, we saw him sitting there and he's crying and begging to Allah because he has this deep relationship with Allah. He has this deep relationship, and most of his du'as were for the Ummah, for us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he's on the Mount. He never forgets people. The Prophet never forgot people, y'all. He was on Mount Arafah and there's 120,000. So can you imagine if you're one of the 120,000 that are far away? You're like, man, it's probably going down over there on Jabal al-Rahma. You're way away because it's 120,000 people. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was a man by the name of Yazid bin Shayban. He says, I was one of the people, I was at Arafah. He's thinking back when he was there. He's like, I was at Arafah. But وَكُنْتُ بَعِيدًا مِنْ مَوْقِفِهِ. He's like, but I was very far away from where he was at. He said, all of a sudden, Ibn Mirba' al-Ansari, one of the Ansari Sahaba, he comes to us and he says, Inni Rasoola Rasoolillah. He said, I am the messenger of the messenger of Allah. He told me to come see y'all. He told me to come see y'all. Yani, can you imagine? Even in this moment that he's so focused on Allah, he's thinking about the rest of the ummah. And he says, I wonder how they're feeling. They're so far away from me. So he sends one guy and he says, I want you to go tell them something. Go to them and tell them, Kunu ala mashairikum. Tell them, stay right where you're at. Don't come over here. Stay there. Fa innakum ala irthi abikum Ibrahim. You're right where Abraham wanted you to be. You're right at the right spot. Don't move. For me, it's amazing because he's so connected with how people feel. And that's the sunnah of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's we're on Yawm al-Arafah, and it's getting towards the end of the day. Remember, on the day of Arafah, at Maghrib time, you leave Arafah, you go on to the next place. And it was at that point, right towards the end of the day, Asr time, There's only a few hour left until the sun sets. And it was at that time that a verse was revealed. It was a verse. It's hard to explain how deep this verse is. The Sahaba were watching the Prophet, and they could tell when revelation was coming. They could see him. They knew what he looked like when revelation came. And so he's on Jabal al-Rahma. He's making dua. Revelation begins. And when revelation is over, he recites this verse. Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. Wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. The verse is so beautiful. The verse says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I have perfected your deen for you. Your way of life, ya Muslimin, O people of the Quran, O people of Muhammad, on that day Allah said, I've perfected your way of life. I often think, like, what would my life be like without Islam? And low-key, I can, like, go back to the years before and realize how lost I was with no tawheed. And so when I hear this verse on that moment, Allah says, Al-yawma akmaltu lakum dinakum. Today I have perfected your religion for you. It's perfect. Wa atmamtu alaykum ni'mati. And I have completed my blessing upon you. We have all blessings, but the completion of blessing is when you bring that deen into your heart. We have blessings. We got everything, y'all. We got blessings. But the completion of blessings is when you bring that la ilaha illallah Muhammadur Rasulullah deep into your heart. Wa atmamtu, and I have completed my blessings upon you. And the last part of the verse, Allah says, wa raditu lakum al-islam adina. And I am pleased with Islam as a way of life for you. Submission to God, this is the way that Allah is pleased with. When the Prophet recited this, none other than Umar ibn Khattab is right there. And our Umar radiallahu an, the mighty, the strong Umar, begins to weep, begins to cry. The Prophet himself looks at him, he says, Ya Umar, ma yabakik, why are you crying? What's wrong? Today is Hajj al-Akbar. Today is Day of Arafah. Why are you crying? He said, Abakani. He says, I'm crying because up until now, we were continually getting more. We were kuntu fi ziyada. Every day a new verse was dropping. Every day a new hadith was dropping. Every day we were getting more. More deen, more learning. He says, فَإِنَّهُ لَا يُكْمِلُ شَيْءٍ إِلَّا نَقَصَ. He goes, if we got to the pinnacle now, Ya Rasulullah, that means now we're going down. That's why I'm crying. Up until today, until that verse was recited, more was coming. But once that verse is recited, Ya Rasulullah, I know what that means. That means now it's downhill from this point. That's it. The Prophet looked at him and he said, Sadaqta, you're right. This ayah was the ayah telling him that the Prophet would die, and 80 days later, the Prophet would leave the world. We had to leave Arafah. We had to leave Arafah. And the Prophet ﷺ loved to have one of the youngins with him on his camel, riding shotgun. Yeah, for real. He always had one of the youngins ride with him, Osama or Fadl. Osama was like his grandson. Fadl was young too. So there's a kind of a funny incident. The Prophet ﷺ had Fadl on his camel with him. Now Fadl, y'all gotta understand, was very handsome. You know what I mean? Like very handsome. And the Prophet ﷺ, a sister comes to ask the Prophet a fatwa. This hadith is in Bukhari. You could look it up. Y'all be thinking I'd be making stuff up. The Prophet ﷺ, فَوَضَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. So she came over and she came to ask a question. فَتَفِقَ فَضَلْ يَنْظُرُ إِلَيْهِنَّ. Fadl starts to look. SubhanAllah. With the Prophet in front of you too? It's his uncle, but still. فَوَضَى رَسُولُ اللَّهِ يَدَهُ عَلَى وَجْهِ. The Prophet ﷺ puts his hands over Fadl's face. Puts his hands. This is Hajj, bro. His hand on his face. It's not over. Fadl turns his head a little. Subhanallah. Subhanallah. Later on, Abbas, Fadl's father, Abbas asked the Prophet, he said, Ya Rasulullah, I saw you covering Fadl's face. What was that about? And listen to the warning of the Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam 80 days before he passed away. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said, I saw a young man and I saw a young woman and I understood how shaitan could come in between. That's why I was protecting him. Even in this moment, the Prophet's protecting this, the ummah, he's teaching. أَنَا لَكُمْ كَالْوَالِدُ أُعَلِّمُكُمْ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we go forward. We go to the Jamara. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is stoning the shaitans. And he gathers everyone again for another talk, another khutbah. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he asked them, what month is it this month? I mean, there's 120,000 people were here for Hajj. Everyone knows what month it is. But when the Prophet is asking a question like that, it's maybe something's going to change. So they stay quiet. They say, Allahu wa Rasuluhu a'lam. Allah and the Prophet know best. The Prophet was quiet until we thought he would name it something different. And he says, isn't it Dhul Hajjah? They say, yes, Ya Rasulullah. He says, what city are we in right now? They stay quiet. The Prophet looks up. He says, isn't this Al-Balda, yani Mecca? They say, yes, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet ﷺ said, what day is it today? He's just building up the emphasis for what he's about to say. He says, what day is it today? They say, today is the day of Yawm al-Nahar. This is the day of Hajj, Eid. The Prophet ﷺ said, yes, indeed. He said, the blood between you and the wealth between you is sacred. Just like this day is sacred, just like this month is sacred, just like this city is sacred. The Prophet ﷺ said, don't go back to the old days of fighting one another again. He says, let those who are witnesses be the ones who take the message to those who aren't there. And then he looks at them again. And again, he says, هَلْ بَلَّغْتُ? Did I give you the message? And they say, بَلَّغْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ بَلَّغْتَ يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, after that, everyone goes to Mina. And we spend the rest of the days of Hajj in Mina. But it's time to slaughter. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam had about 100 camels that he was slaughtering for sacrifice to feed everyone. And one of the most beautiful miracles is that the rest of the creation also knew how special he was. And the Sahaba say, we lined up these animals to be slaughtered. And the moment the Prophet ﷺ walked out, the camels started to push one another for which one of them would be the first to be sacrificed by him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He slaughters the animals, the meat is distributed, and everyone is eating. It's Eid day. But it's time for him to cut his hair. So he has Ma'mar bin Abdullah. So Ma'mar was in charge of his saddle. And so the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he said to Ma'mar, he said, yo Ma'mar, I was riding the camel the other day and the saddle was a little shaky. I was riding the camel and the saddle was a little ittirab, and it was shaking. It's supposed to be sturdy. It's supposed to not move. Ma'mar goes, wallahi, I did the same thing I did the days before. But there's haters in here. They're trying to take my job from me. He's like, somebody loosened it so that I can lose my job. And the Prophet looked at him. He said, Ma ana bifa'il, I won't replace you, don't worry. And then he handed him, subhanAllah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he handed him the razor. And he said, can you cut my hair for me now? Ma'mar's like, yeah, I got you. And the Prophet sits back and he grabs the Prophet's head to cut. And the Prophet looks at him. So he has a knife and he has the Prophet's head. And the Prophet looks at him. And the Prophet says, Ya Ma'mar, subhanAllah, you have a knife next to the throat of the Prophet of Allah? He's just cracking a joke with him. Just being down to earth with him. Dad joke, low-key, right? You have a knife next to the throat of the Prophet, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? And he looks at him, he says, Ya Rasulullah, inna dhalika la min ni'matillahi alayya. Ya Rasulullah, this is one of the greatest blessings Allah has ever given me, that I will be the one to be able to shave your hair and take your hair off. It was in this time also that the surah Idha Ja'a Nasrullahi Wal Fath was revealed, during the middle days of the Hajj. So at that point when the verses were revealed, إِذَا جَاءَ نَصْرُ اللَّهِ وَالْفَتْحُ رَأَيْتَ النَّاسِ يَدْخُلُونَ فِي دِينِ اللَّهِ أَفْوَاجًا, when the help of Allah comes and the victory comes and people are coming to Islam in droves, فَسَبِّحْ بِحَمْدِ رَبِّكَ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ, at that point the Prophet ﷺ and everyone knew this was Hajjatul Wida. They all knew that he was leaving us at this point. The Prophet ﷺ gathered everyone in these middle days and he gave another khutbah. Again, he's summarizing everything that he taught us and he wants us to get these last messages. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he says, Ya ayyuhan nas, inna rabbakum wahid, your Lord is one. Wa inna abakum wahid. He says, listen to me closely, O ummah Muhammad. La fadla li arabiyyan ala ajami. The Arabs don't have any fadl, they're not better than any non-Arab. The Ajami is not better than, the non-Arab is not better than the Arab. The Ahmar was the word they used for white. So he goes, the Ahmar, like red, you know what I mean? Right, whatever, right? The Ahmar is not better than any black, nor any black better than any red. Illa bitaqwa. He says the best person in this room is not based on anything except the one who is most conscious of God. This is last moment, that's it. The one most conscious of God, that's it. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, again, he asked us this question. And he did everything. He says, أَبَلَّغْتُ? Did I give you the message? قَالُوا بَلَّغَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. You gave it to us, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam continues to talk to them. He says, الْمُسْلِمُ, the true Muslim. Think of yourself as we read these. He says, shall I not tell you who a Muslim is? A Muslim is the one who other Muslims are safe from their tongue and their hand. He says, shall I tell you who a mu'min is? The mu'min is the one that other Muslims feel safe from. He says, shall I tell you who the true immigrant is, the true muhajir is? He says, the one who migrates away from sin. Allahu Akbar. It's time to do hijrah away from sin. Y'all give it up. Just make that hijrah. Drop that sin behind you and keep moving. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he says, وَالْمُؤْمِنَ عَلَى الْمُؤْمِنِ حَرَامٌ. Today, a mu'min is sacred. لَحْمُهُ عَلَيْهِ حَرَامٌ. The flesh of a believer is sacred. Don't backbite, he says. Don't backbite. In his final khutbah, what is he saying to us? Don't backbite, y'all. Don't backbite one another. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he ends this khutbah. And now it's time. We finished the Hajj. The Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam has given us the final advices. And it's time to go back. فَخَرَجَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ, the Prophet left Mecca. The whole time of his Hajj was only 10 days. He only stayed in Mecca for 10 days. Everyone's leaving. All of the 120,000 are all going in their own directions back to where they live. And so Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is halfway back to Medina and he's with a smaller group now. These were people headed in that same direction. So the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he stops them again and he sits down with them. This is no khutbah, we're on our way back to Medina. And he says, I need to talk to everyone, listen to me. He says, everyone listen. فَإِنَّمَا أَنَا بَشَرٌ. He says, I'm a human being. يُشِكُ أَنْ يَأْتِيَ رَسُولُ رَبِّي فَأُجِيب. He says, very soon, the messenger of my Lord is going to come to me and I'm going to have to answer his call. Very soon, the messenger of my Lord is going to come to me and I'm going to have to answer my call. I will be questioned. إِنِّي مَسْؤُولٌ وَأَنْتُ مَسْؤُولٌ. I will be questioned and y'all will be questioned. He says, smaller group of people, not 120,000, smaller group of people. He goes, ماذا أنتم قائلون? What are y'all going to say about me? Can you imagine him asking you, what would you say about him? He who sacrificed everything for you, taught you everything you know about dunya and akhirah. And here he is, his humility, his worry of Allah. He says, what are you going to say about me? Now they've been with him the whole Hajj, so they think they know what he wants them to say. They say, نَشْهَدُ أَنَّكَ قَدْ بَلَّغْتَ وَجَهَدْتَ وَنَصَحْتَ. Ya Rasulullah, we're going to tell Allah that you gave us the message, you exerted yourself, and you wish nothing but good for us. That's not what he wanted to say. And then they said, فَجَزَاكُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. They said, Ya Rasulullah, how many times did you want to say this to Rasul? They said, فَجَزَاكُ اللَّهُ خَيْرًا. To him. You know how many people we've said Jazakallah to? Who have given us the most trivial of things in life? But could you imagine being able to say to him, Jazakallah? So they look at him and they say, Jazakallahu khaira. Jazakallah, Ya Rasulullah, for everything you gave me. You took my life from the streets and made me who I am and gave me something to live for. Jazakallahu khaira, Ya Rasulullah. That's what they said to him. The Prophet, he's like, nah, y'all missing what I'm asking. He says, Alastum tashhadun, won't you say that you bear witness, La ilaha illallah, wa anna Muhammadan abduhu wa rasulu? Won't you bear witness? What you need to say is, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah, wa ashhadu anna Muhammadan rasulullah, wa anna jannata haq. And I want you to say these words, repeat after me, Jannah haq, Jannah is real, wa naru haq, the fire is real, wal mautu haq, death is real, wal ba'thu haq, resurrection is real. وَالسَّاعَةَ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا آتِيَةٌ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهَا. And the hour is coming without a shadow of doubt. قَالُوا بَلَا. They said, yeah, yes, 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 Ya Rasulullah. نَشْهَدُ بِذَلِكَ. We will bear witness to everything you just said, Ya Rasulullah. The Prophet looked up again and he said, Allahumma shahad. Ya Allah, bear witness. You heard what they said. I gave them the message. I gave them the message. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we get back to Medina. And I told you only 80 days after Umrah, Hajj, the Prophet passes away. And next week, we'll talk about the passing of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But he got back to Medina and he went to the graveyard to visit. He always went to the graveyard. It was really normal for him to go to the graveyard and visit the Muslims who passed away. And so he went to the graveyard, and as he was coming at the graveyard, he said to the Sahaba, I wish I could see my brothers. I wish I could see my brothers. The Sahaba, they're like, they said, Ya Rasulullah, we're here. The Prophet, he said, no. Y'all not my brothers. Y'all my sahabi. You're my companions. My brothers that I wish I could see are the people that will come after me. They will believe in me. And they will wish that they could have seen me, even if they had to sacrifice everything in the world. I wish I could see them. He was talking about us, inshallah. He was talking about us, that I wish I could see them. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he went back to his home after that. And from that point on, the Prophet's sickness began to intensify. And we'll talk about that in our next session, inshallah ta'ala. This was a beautiful moment. And it's a promise that if we put in the work, if we put in the work, we know that the promise of Allah is true. And this was a heavy moment for all the Sahaba because they realized it. They realized that he was saying goodbye to them. And at this moment, I want all of us to really think about our connection with the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. I want you to go back through the years that we were studying. As a baby, when no one wanted to pick him up. As a young boy working as a shepherd, trade, all of this. Marrying Khadijah when he had no money. Going off away from society because he felt there's something wrong with people, something's wrong. That moment when the Gabriel came to him and life changed forever at that moment. And that first revelation came, Iqra, and he was hugged and squeezed. And then from that moment, there was nothing but struggle. He was mocked, he was ridiculed. All he cared about was passing this La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah on. One day he's praying in front of the Kaaba with his head on the ground, and they come and they throw the intestines of a camel on his back and they start laughing at him. And his daughter runs over, Miskina, she comes over and she's pulling it off and she's crying. And the Prophet is wiping tears off her, and he says, "Don't worry, don't worry. Allah will protect your father. Allah will protect your father." And then he goes to Ta'if and he's ridiculed and mocked and stoned on his ankles until he collapses in a garden. But someone accepts Islam, so it was all worth it. And then the Prophet ﷺ makes hijrah. He makes hijrah. He leaves everything behind. For what? For me and you to have La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah. But it doesn't stop there. In Medina, there's nothing but struggle. Every 4 months, another battle. Every 4 months, another loved one lost to the cause. Until finally, we reach this moment where the Prophet ﷺ takes 120,000 companions to the Kaaba for Hajj, and he gives these final advices, and he tells them that maybe I won't be here next year. Make sure you take this message from me. And the main thing he wanted to say is, did I give you the message? And I ask you today, are we living according to that message that he gave us? May Allah accept from us, inshallah. Next week, inshallah, we'll have our last session with the passing of the Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك نشهد أن لا إله إلا أنت نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين السلام عليكم